best machine that is around anywhere in the world.
I disagree.
The professional machine of the future.
No, only for amateurs.
How would I describe it?
Crap.
I think it's fantastic.
Awesome. It's going to skyrocket.
Only Amiga makes it possible.
Only Amiga.
To do things that you can't do on other hardware.
And it does all the work for you.
No, I do all the work for you.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Whoa.
State-of-the-art technology at a price that everybody can afford.
Didn't Silicon Graphics say that?
The Amiga is the best graphics machine available in the world today.
No, it's not. It's an SGI terminal.
Only Amiga.
Only Amiga. Only Amiga.
Only Amiga.
Only Amiga.
Only Amiga.
Only Amiga. Only Amiga.
Makes it possible.
Only Amiga.
Only Amiga makes it possible.
Only Amiga.
Outrageous.
It's the Series 2, Episode 2 of Podcast!
The following podcast is given a universal rating. Yippee!
Hello! Welcome to, what I said earlier on, Series 2, Episode 2 of Podcast. Yes, I'm GGU Draco. I am going to take you through this wonderful tour of the 16-bit computer, the Commodore Amiga, or SCOM Amiga, or Gateway Amiga, or Amiga Amiga, depending on what time period you're interested in. Anyway, this is going to concentrate on the Polar sound chip, so it's four channels of 8-bit pulse code modulation. In other words, CD quality audio. Well, half the quality, because it's only 8-bit. Who cares? It means that all the audio files are called mods, which is like MIDI, but without all the instruments, you can create your own instruments. Anyway, what have I got later on? I've got Shadow of the Beast 2, I've got Lotus 3, I'm going to have a little guitar challenge, I'm going to hopefully explain, using the power of music, why this is better than the Atari ST, although, to be honest, that's not much of a challenge. It's a bit of a cakewalk. You'll hear some Alistair Brimble, you'll hear some Richard Joseph, and, oh yes, and you'll also have the first request of the whole series. Yay! That's coming at the end. First of all, I'm going to explain to you, if you ever bought a Commodore 64 in the UK, you'd have got a little tape, maybe, called Mindbenders. This would have been the second side of it, explaining the super wonderful Amiga that you could buy if you spent a bit more money. This is the Get On With It remix. I've shortened it by a couple of minutes because it just repeats itself after a while. All right. So, how did the Amiga actually start? Well, Amiga actually started as a small company producing peripherals for the Atari 2600. That's something I'm going to cover in a later series. Anyway, Commodore's Jay Miner and a few other clever little bods decided to create a multimedia computer. Of course, a new word at the time, multi and media. Wow! The Amiga 1000 improved upon the wonderful IBM PC because it had more colours and better sound, and it improved on the very new Macintosh because it actually had colour and better sound. However, if you did want to buy this, it would yet again be an investment, just like the other two computers. At a cost of £1,700, of course, you're going to have to save away for that fateful rainy day. But it didn't take long, only a couple of years, that's 1987, for the Amiga to really kick itself off with the low-end, cheaper, and basically more accessible Amiga 500. Of course, by then, the Amiga had an existing back catalogue that it could fall back upon, and people started getting into it and realising its wonderful little effects, and thinking, let's ditch the Z80 and get into the 68K. If you don't understand a thing about what I'm on about, go on. Let's go on to some Alistair Brimble. You're listening to some now. This is Alien Breed, one of the most popular games for the Amiga. I'm going to give you another wonderful little piece. If you've watched the video from Tom's Hardware Guide about how to burn your AMD CPU, then you have heard this piece of music. And now you know where it came from. Alistair Brimble with Project X. It's 9 minutes long, so I suggest you get a cup of tea. Okay, it's just repeating itself now, so I'm going to fade out and move very swiftly on. Okay, so because you could define your own instruments using various little samples, it meant that you could choose your own definitions, you could choose your own instruments, you could choose how you wanted it to be played. And I'm sure you had various different effects such as pitch bend and ADSR. Well, actually, yes, you did have ADSR. I can tell you that for a fact. But anyway, these two that I'm going to play in a moment is Shadow of the Beast 2, The Game Over. Well, lots of very nice whiny guitar there. And Lotus 3, which was very serious from the other Lotus racing games, I must admit. Very grindy guitar action as well. Very angry. Okay, what's going on?
Start CPR. Got to get in the hospital. Whatever could we use? Oh yeah, that Lotus Esprit is a good thing. Let's go!
Okay, so I'm not really dead, I didn't really have a heart attack, it's just very bad fakey. Okay, what you're listening to at the moment is David Whittaker doing a piece for Lemmings 2, The Tribes. A while back in the pilot series, I spoke about Richard Joseph, who's sort of recently deceased, bless his soul. I told you that when I listened to him do his Commodore 64 stuff, I didn't know what all the fuss was about. They were saying he was an amazing musician and all this wonderful music, and all I kept hearing was this simple beep, beep, beep music. And I thought, that's not as amazing as the other C64 musicians. That's when I found out you shouldn't really be listening to that. You should be listening to the stuff he did for the Amiga and the other 16-bit stuff. This is where his talents truly shine, and you can definitely hear it when he collaborated with John Fox of Ultravox, known as Nation 12, to do Speedball 2 and Gods. Gods I'm going to show you at another time. Speedball 2 I'm going to show you now. And after that, I'm going to show you his very interesting piece that he did for Cannon Fodder. I'm sure if you're my age, you'll know about Cannon Fodder. I've never played it. actually, sorry, going to be more enthusiastic about this, just I've been having a bad day. Speedball 2 is your big, amazing cross between football, rugby, Australian rules football and just wrestling. But anyway, that's all set in the future and it's all wonderful futuristic stuff, as I'm sure that, you know, Nation 12 will show to you. Cannon fodder is like worms, but with humans instead of worms, just to make it a bit more realistic. And if you're serious about your music, this is where you'll find out that you can define instruments not only as standard instruments but also voice samples as well. So you can have "Kill Him With Your Gun" and do that over and over and over again, which Richard Joseph clearly shows in the second piece I'm going to show you. Enjoy these two.
100 years from now, the game of speedball was affected by bribery and corruption, and therefore was no better than boxing. After a few years, a couple of people went into a former speedball stadium and thought, "Let's recreate a new game, like speedball, with the same rules, but more fighting, and obviously less bribery and corruption." Stuck for a name, they called it Speedball 2.
I'm sure that you've heard about the famous graphics and sound of the Amiga, and here's one of our classic demos called the Bouncing Ball.
It's really impressive.
Now, Rick, this is an impressive demo, but I want you to tell me why it's impressive. What are we seeing that the computer can do?
Well, what you're seeing is synchronized moving graphics, color graphics with the sound all at the same time. And in addition to this, we still have down here below an application running.
So you're running a word processor while you're carrying on this sound graphics.
Yep, and I can correct my typos.
Lovely. Okay, for those who are a bit observant, I think you'll find out that this is IK Plus by Hob Rubbard. I've not been explaining the computer itself that much, and really because I'm more interested in the music, but I must tell you, the graphics are pretty neat for their time. And this is especially proven with the title screen for IK Plus, because you get to see little white dinky characters kung-fuing each other, going hi-ya, you know, making all the moves. Not only that, but the background is pretty neat as well, because you get little silhouettes and sort of time-lapse. I can't explain it, but it's just this multicolour animation going on. Probably find out it only took a program of, 2 hours to make it or something, but it looks pretty neat and it shows off the power, because on the Amiga version, it's like several of them having a go and wonderful colours. On the Atari ST version, it's only about two, I think, and on the Commodore 64, it can only manage one. So let's have a listen to one of the adverts that Commodore made, just to sort of run over the wonderful types of Amiga you could buy.
Welcome back to our awesome Commodore preview, with your chance to win these incredible packs. Commodore's first great pack is the Wild, the Weird, and the Wicked, featuring the brand new Amiga 600, Commodore's latest multitasking computer. With over 3,000 software titles available and over 4,000 colors and four-channel digitized stereo sound as standard, the new 600 is Commodore's dynamic successor to the Amiga 500. The pack brings you the Amiga 600 plus these four mega titles. Colin Curley has lost his quavers. Help G.I. Ant retrieve all 10 packs in Pushover. Grand Prix, 16 international tracks and complete coverage of 26 cars. Amazing! Silly Putty, build your way home to Putty Moon with your robot friends, but watch out for Dazzle Daisy's nasties. And you can enjoy creating animations like they do in the movies, or visions of color with Deluxe Paint 3. This is your chance to win one of these packs every week until February 14th, 1993. Hard drive, and you just entered the whole new world of the Epic Pack with an incredible Amiga 600 HD and these amazing games. Epic, Rome, Myth, Trivial Pursuits. Add Amiga Text and the amazing Deluxe Paint 3 and it's epic, and you can win one a month until February 14th, 1993. Seeing is believing as Commodore introduced the superb Amiga CD-TV Multimedia Pack. Take the brilliant Amiga CD-TV, the world's first interactive home entertainment player, add the dynamic Amiga 600 keyboard, software, disk drive and mouse, and you'll have the incredible Commodore CD-TV Multimedia Pack. Watch after this trailer for your chance to win these great new packs from Commodore.
Now you can see why the Amiga was very hard to beat. Even with the consoles, there was still the battle of you could learn how to use a computer, for once, or just play video games. But sadly, the Amiga sort of fell flat over time. As Commodore started losing money and then went bankrupt, the Amiga went to ESCOM, and then Gateway, and then Tulip Computers. And from there on, Commodore has been a bit of a curse, and the Amiga has sort of become its own independent company, and they're going to try and produce the Mini-MiG, which is a fun little piece of kit. Apparently it's an Amiga 500, 1000 in a chip. Apparently it's going to be really great and it's supposed to have been out by now. I don't know what's going on, and frankly, I shouldn't care. I'm more interested in other things for the time being. But it's an amazing thing, and the Atari ST, which is happening in the next episode, is going to have to do a lot of performing to try and convince me that it was a decent competitor. Hang on, where's the music? That's a lot better. Okay, so this is the penultimate song, piece of music, sorry. This is Zool Rave. Of course, Zool was, I'd say, it was the face of the Amiga in the UK, especially since you had Sonic for Sega and Mario for Nintendo. Zool seemed to be quite popular because of its platformer, kung fu, high-kicking little sponsored by Chub Chubs thing. Yeah, woohoo. I'm going to leave you be yet again. The next episode is the Atari ST with its wonderful Yamaha YM chip. If you have any requests, if you have any comments, if you like the show, if you want to do something, if you'd like an interview, if you'd like to join in the podcast, feel free, join in. I'm through various messaging protocols, and you can try the email, pohd-caht@podomatic.com. Look at the show notes, it's wonderful. I've been Gigi Udraco. This is Series 2, Episode 3, and this has been recorded using a SoundMax internal sound card because the Order G2 is inside a box at the moment. This podcast has not been an ultimate justice to the Polar Sound Chip, but I've run out of time. Hope to see you soon. I am going to leave you with Desert Dreams by the demo group Kefrans, which was a request by Tull from Tapestry's Muck. Thanks. Wonderful piece of music, and I suggest that you actually go to YouTube to look at the demo itself, because it's amazing to watch as it is to listen. Toodles!
last we made him cold as ice, so he can no more terrorize. He wanted us to blame the melon, but now he felt us turn the hell on. The alien is now so dead, the skin is falling off his head. Yet still he may be recreated, the rumors have to be defeated. We have a dream, it might come true, this dream we want to share with you.